Morning, man. So good. Can we say thank you to our worship team, please? Woo! I want you to open up to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Man, it is truly special to be here today. Man, it's great to see you out on this gorgeous sunny Sunday in the middle of August. Awesome. Just to say it's the middle of August is a bummer. And you're like, ah, because, and I love our area, man. We see the hills, we see the green and the blue just combine, and it's just God's favorite colors. In my opinion, they're green and blue, because that's what we see around here. And it's just, and then there's the white stuff, which is amazing in itself for a little while. But the older you get, the less you want it longer, you know. And we do love to ski, we love to snowboard, we love it, but it could be not here in March. I'd be great with that. I used to think like, oh, let's just ski all year round. It'd be amazing. And I'm not there anymore. Anyways, but you look at our beautiful area and it's like, man, it's already middle of August. And weather's going to be changing here in September, October, November. But I hope that everybody truly has had a great summer. The Lord has blessed us here at Believer's Chapel with just a sense of great attendance through summer. We're juiced about that. I encourage families to take your vacations. Not take time away from church, but family vacations are huge, right? And we're looking forward to our September and our October to see what God has for BC and just getting into a groove again going into the fall. And when you look at what took place at SEEK on Sunday, who was at SEEK on Sunday? Like, that was just stunning. Like, it's just funny because every Sikh, I'll have someone say, I've been to so many Sikhs, that was the best one. And then they'll go to the next one, and someone else will say, that was the best Sikh. And what's beautiful is that it does hit people in particular ways, in particular seasons of their lives. And that's what's so great about Sikh. And when you were at Sikh on Sunday, there was just some beautiful Holy Spirit moments at Sikh, which are God moments. God is Holy Spirit, and there were some amazing God moments by His Spirit on Sunday night at SEEK. And there was just some things just in my spirit that's just like, what happens, and I even mentioned them, what happens when this becomes personal? We actually, Believer's Chapel actually did a shirt years ago and put Isaiah 53 on the back, and then on the back we said, now it's personal. I haven't preached this in a long time, but when and it's totally different from that. I don't even remember what that was. But when you understand what it means that Jesus Christ left heaven, put himself on a cross to fix my issue and your issue, at what point does that become personal? At what point does the simplicity of John 3:16 that everybody knows, it's on the placards, maybe you guys saw it at the Bills game when that kid punted a half a mile, whatever it looked like. It's so funny because everyone's bragging about the Bills this morning, and the only thing I've heard is about the punt. I'm like, if that's the best you got, good luck, Buffalo. If you saw the Steelers, you saw three quarterbacks that were all on their A game. That's what you saw. New receiver that couldn't drop the ball. That's what you saw. It was amazing. It was amazing. But if Bills, if you're bragging about your punter, man, it went a country mile, and you're going to be punting a lot, apparently. Amen. Ha! Ha! I love it. All the Bills fans are like, shut up and preach. You were rolling. But when you look at, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Just that statement. And when you look at the true depth of God's love, I honestly, church, I don't know if we could ever get to the depth of his love. What does that mean? That he loves me. What does it mean that he demonstrated his love for us? That yet while Sean was still in sin, man, Christ died for me. Like, it wasn't on my good day. It was in my filth and in my shame and in my guilt. And the verdict because of sin was death. That was the verdict. Rightfully so. But there is one true living God who loves that which he created so bad, so much, so desperate, a deep of a love for us that he sent his own son. And you know, as Paul says, listen, I boast on the cross. And yeah, we at Believer's Chapel, we talk about God's love. We talk about the cross often. We have great communions talking about the cross. Good Friday service is about the cross. But church, we need to get to a different level on this. I believe this. We need to get to a different level of what it means to think on the cross daily. What it means to really look at that, that cross was for me. Man, this is personal. This is personal. That's what he did for me. And we start today by just saying, listen, when it's personal, it changes things. Something takes place within my spirit when I really understand, no, that was for me because he loved me. He put himself on a cross for me. Man, it's personal. And when it's personal, it does something to you. That's not religion. That's relationship. That's not the good list of do's and don'ts. That's the depth of grace because it's personal because he loved me. Jesus Christ died for me. I am a child of God. He's adopted me. He knows my name. He knows everything about my details of my life. He has a personal plan for me. He has set a place for me for all eternity. Why? Because it's personal. Church, what happens when that sinks in? And the depth of that is he loves me. Jesus Christ hung on a cross and they were screaming at him, come down from there. Come down from there. Church, he could have. He could have called 72,000 angels. You see in the Old Testament in 1 Kings that one angel took out 185,000 soldiers. 185,000 soldiers taken out by one angel. What do you think 72,000 angels would have done? He could have. But God so loved the world. Jesus hung on that cross and died in perfect innocence so that we can understand what it is to be justified. It's personal. I am saved. I am born again. When it means something to you like that, the reality of the truth of God's word changes in your spirit. We say, listen, I'm going to walk in obedience to this because it's personal. I'm going to obey my king. I'm going to serve my king. My righteous king died for me in my place. I'm going to serve him with everything I've got. My life will be impacted because it's personal. I will obey the truth. When you see Romans chapter 8, you see the depth of this. Come on, let's just ask God to bless this time. We've got a special service, but I want to get into Romans 8 first before we get into a special dance, but I want to read Romans 8, but let's pray. Father, I just thank you for who you are and what you've done, and I thank you so much for the cross. I pray that we would be a people that would think on the cross daily. Be amazed that we're safe. Be amazed that we're saved, that we've been rescued, that we are delivered. Be amazed that there is no fear in death because of what you've done. Be amazed to know that you've gone to prepare a place for us, that I have a place in heaven on gold streets because of what you've done for me. I get it. I'm amazed by that. And I thank you for the cross. God, I pray that we would be a people. We will be a people, God, that would think on the cross daily, not just communion, not just Good Friday, but daily be amazed at what you've done for us because it's personal. That would drive us to walk in obedience to your word. That would drive us to a place and compel us to know that we are free, that we are forgiven, that there's no shame, there's no guilt, there's no condemnation because we think on the cross and the very beautiful work of the cross that we are forgiven people. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah. In your precious name. Come on, amen. Come on, look at this. Romans 8, I want to see this. And what happens when we are a people who understand God loved me? I don't know if you can preach on love enough to understand the depth of his love for me. And I want to start by this, is when you understand the depth of his love. Romans 8:1 has a different tone to it. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. There's no shame. There's no guilt. Listen, today is the day that I have been praying. God, let this be a day. The people are freed from condemnation. People are freed from guilt. People are freed from shame. And I'm talking about those who know and love Jesus. I'm talking about those who are truly born again. If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, there's one way to eternal life. And the process only goes through the work of that cross, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. The only access to eternal life in heaven goes through the work of the cross. Jesus Christ loved you, died for you, and in the shedding of his blood, we can be forgiven of our sin. But in that, for those who are in Christ, get it? For those who are in Christ, there is no shame, there is no guilt, there is no condemnation. And I think there's so many times as believers, as followers of Christ, we just allow that umbrella to hang. We just allow that cloud of shame to just hang out. And every now and then it rains on us. And that shame shows up and that guilt shows up. But what happens, church, when you know his love? What happens, church, that this is so personal that we are continually reminded, no, he loves me. No, his grace is enough for me. No, the cross was enough for my salvation. And if I believe Romans 1, I believe it, that there is now no condemnation, no guilt, no shame for those who are in Christ. But I think, I love how that's followed up in Romans 8. By this beautiful picture of the depth of God's love for us. The depth of God's love for us. Let's pick it up in verse 31, please. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who is against us? For he who did not spare his own son, again, see the depth of God's love. For he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And I've written right here in my Bible, just thank you, Lord. I love you. It's just that simple. For God who did not spare his son Jesus, but gave him over. It wasn't for the good people. It wasn't for those who were walking right. It was for the sinner. And that's every single person who's ever breathed. You got to get the depth of this. For he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over. That's delivered him over. That's to be sacrificed, that's to be beaten, that's to be shredded, that's to hang on a cross in complete shame. Gave him over. Watch this. That God would punish his own son so that he wouldn't have to punish us. He will bring a charge against God's elect, for God is the one who justifies. Justifies, I love the word justifies, it means to be made innocent. It means God has justified us through Christ, that by the work of the cross, you and I, that which was wretched sinners, are now been justified and made innocent and made righteous to be right with God. That's what justified means. That we now have the ability, this is huge, to be able to stand before the throne, be declared innocent because we have been justified by the beautiful work of the cross. It's one of those big words that we need to know what justified means, because I am justified. Man, I am innocent. I have been cleansed. I have been washed because God loved me, because that was his plan. Verse 34, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is life. Here's the gospel in one verse. He's life. His life who died, yes, rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. That's just the gospel in his verse. He gave his life. He died. God raised him. He was then ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for us. It's beautiful. Verse 35, here it is.
For who will separate us? Get this, watch this. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who will separate us? Who will cause division? Who will cause the separation of the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Well, tribulation is that persecution. Tribulation means when things become so narrow, when things become so tight, which means pressure, right? When you understand tribulation, that means that this isn't speaking of end time tribulation. This is here now that you and I will go through a season, not from God, but from man. There will be persecution. There will be distress for the believer. And even in all of that, that cannot separate us from God. This is such an amazing encouragement today to say, God, your love, it just extends and it is so deep and it doesn't ever end. Even through the pressure. As a believer, what is it to feel that pressure? As a believer, what is it to feel that the depth of that affliction? That's what tribulation is. And that's not the end time tribulation. That's here as believers, based off the world. Like, the world's called to hate us. You got to get that. We're going to go through seasons when we stand firm for God's word. People are going to come against us, high five the Holy Spirit, say, okay, let's go. I know your love is unchanging no matter what I'm going through. Watch this. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, will distress. Distress is that deep anguish. It's that deep distress. There's something deeper to that. There's something to that difficulty. Look at the third one. It says persecution. Persecution, it means we feel like we're being chased down. We're being pursued from the world and from the enemy. Famine is hunger. Nakedness is being poor. Peril is you're in danger, danger all around. Sword means even in death. As it is written, you take this from Psalm 44, as it is written, for your sake, that's for his sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Like what happens? What happens, church, when there is that real risk of being a believer? Because it does something. When there's true risk, that's what proves your courage. That's what proves your devotion. But when you know, okay, as a believer, there's times and there's seasons that it's not just peaches and cream. There's times and there's season that the world is going to come against you. There's times of the season when you take a strong stand on truth, on his word. That there will be the world who will just fight against you. Job might fight against you when you have to take a stand on truth. So what happens when there is a true risk that proves courage, that proves faith, that proves boldness, that shows what you're really made of? And I love that this is just right in the middle of all of this when it says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can any of this separate us from Christ? Look at verse 37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. Church, hear the victory in this. Hear the victory in this. In all of these things, we overwhelmingly. That means above and beyond. There is such victory in this. And what is it that drives that, man? What is it that we walk in this understanding, say, okay, man, your love, nothing can separate me from your love. Nothing. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You are the same God of John 3:16. You're the same God of Jeremiah 31. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That is a love that is forever. I have called you. I love this. He said, there's nothing, church. What happens when you know there's nothing that can separate me from the depth of his love? In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. We have above and beyond victory. Church, we need to get this where we have an understanding that as the church, we walk triumphant. As the church, we're not the victims. For a believer to have a victim mindset, you're in the wrong spot. A believer needs to have a victorious mindset. Wait, I am walking in triumph. God Almighty sent his son to die on the cross for me. And the God of all creation, he loves me. He loves me. He proved that to me by his son on the cross. And even in all of these things, man, I overwhelmingly come out on top as a conqueror, above and beyond victory. That's what overwhelmingly conqueror means, that we are above and beyond in victory. We need to begin to change the wheels here. This is what I'm saying. Romans 8:1's got to come alive to us, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I'm not going to feel shame. That cloud's got to be removed. No, I am walking in freedom. No, he loves me so much that when I know that he loves me, no matter what's taking place, man, I can be free. Now listen, if you are in sin as a believer, you need to repent. If you know that you're walking in sin as a believer, you need to repent. There's a reality check that has to come. I'm going to preach a very long series called Reality Check. By the end of the year, I'm hoping to have a marriage series. I'm hoping to have a long series called Reality Check. I promise you, that will be a doozy. I promise you, what is in my spirit, I'm writing it out now. When you come to the church needing a reality check, and people in general needing a reality check, you're not going to want to miss that. I can't wait to preach that. I'm waiting on the right timing of that. There's a lot to preach by December. But if we are in sin, we do need to repent and ask for forgiveness and change. But in all these things, he overwhelmingly conquered through what? Through him who loves us. Through him who loved. How is it that we overwhelmingly conquer? It's through Christ who loved us. Here, verse 38 says this, "For I am convinced. For I have been persuaded." And when I am convinced of something, you can't unconvince me. Which is what happens when you come to a place right here in Scripture. I'm praying that today is that day that you become convinced, that you are persuaded. Watch this. "That neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What happens when you are convinced of that, church? What happens when you understand this is the same God who loves us, and there's nothing that can separate us? And I want to bring out our friends as they're going to do a little routine. I'm going to come back and finish preaching. But I want you to watch this. I want you to hear this. Man, there's something so pure about this. If you guys could come out, you can come out, and we are going to see something special. And then I'll finish preaching.
Temperance, Jaded and Temperance Bat Smith, who've been a part of this church, and they're part of BCA, and they did that at a talent show for BCA, and Renee and I just kind of looked at each other and said, that needs to come to the church. That was choreographed by Abigail Glass, and there's so much to that song, which is Same God by Hannah Kerr. It is such a pure, beautiful reminder with the dance that God is the same. And his love remains the same. Church, what happens when you can look at Romans chapter 8, and what happens when you can buy into the truth of this right here? I love this. When you can say, okay, if there's a chapter I want to believe, it's this. That he is the same God who we see right here. It says, listen, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present. That's now. I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or principalities, that's the good and the evil. I love it. Nor things present, which means now, right now, right now, right here, right here. And nor things to come means the unknown. Things we don't even know yet. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, what happens when that just resonates, does something within your spirit and within your soul? What happens when you can truly believe, because God loves me, he loves me, and there's nothing that can separate me from that? Watch this. What happens when there's a security that comes with that? Church, we need to understand that Father's love is unlike any other love. Because maybe you've had people in your life that have abandoned you that said, I love you. Maybe you've had even maybe parents, or maybe you had people, or maybe you've had a husband or a wife or whatever that looks like, that they claim to love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And there's been abuse, or maybe there's been an abandonment that took place. And you're like, if that's love, I want nothing to do with it. I've been told I've been loved, and it didn't go well. Church, that's real, because that can play on our heart. When you read something like this, to say God loves you. Yeah, I've experienced love before, and it left me feeling abandoned. It left me empty. I promise you that's not this. I promise you, when you know the love of God, when you've been persuaded. And I love where Paul is, and he's writing this to Rome. We know Paul has been through it. He'd been whipped. He'd been abandoned. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been stoned. He's been starving. He's been in prison. He's been through it all. He's the one saying, I am convinced. I'm persuaded. Nothing will separate me from his love. It's not a man love. It's not an earthly love. It's a love like you do not know until you know. And man, my time this morning is like, listen, what is it to persuade you? What is it to convince you that there's nothing that is here now? There's nothing as of yesterday. And there's nothing as of tomorrow that can separate you from the love that God has for you through his son, Jesus Christ. And Paul is like, I know this. I'm convinced of this. I'm persuaded of this. And nothing will change my mind. Church, what is it to understand the beautiful peace of Romans 8:1? And I'm not going to function under the cloud of guilt and shame. No, man, I'm free. He loves me. God loves you. And he has forgiven you. And you have been justified. And you have been cleansed. And you stand innocent. And when you feel the depth of what it is to be free, the depth of what it is to truly be forgiven, and understand what it means, man, no. I overwhelmingly conquer. No, wait a minute. I'm above and beyond victorious. Please get out of the past. I'm asking you, please. This doesn't line up with you getting stuck in your past sin and past wrongs. Man, there is freedom even when someone has wronged you in the past. There's freedom. When someone has done something to you in the past, there's freedom from that. We don't live there. We can't park back here. Because I've been persuaded. Man, I'm convinced. I believe there's no condemnation. I believe that there's no shame. I believe that I don't carry the guilt. Man, if I'm carrying it, that's on me. That's not on him. And today that can change. When you understand he is the same God of Romans 8. He's the same God who counts our tears. He's the same God who loves us without compromise. One of my Bibles I wrote in right here in Romans 8, I wrote right in it, God has loved me and I'll never change his mind. Church, what happens when that just sinks into your spirit? God, you love me. There's nothing that separates me from that. Unlike the world, God, you'll never change your mind. And I'll never regret allowing you to love me. So many times we allow people in and we fall in love, whether it be, again, relationships, whatever that looks like, and there's a regret there. I promise you, church, there's never a regret when you truly allow God by his Spirit into your spirit to say, no, wait a minute, man, I'm done with my past. God, I am forgiven. No condemnation. No guilt, no shame. No, God, I'm free. Just bow your heads just for a moment, please. I'm going to just read this with your heads bowed. I just want to read this, and it's Romans 5, and it says there, therefore, have we been justified by faith? There is that innocence. There is that being cleansed, being justified, being declared right. As justified means being made righteous. I'm innocent. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Church, what is it? Because I know that I'm justified only through Christ on the cross. I'm justified. I've been made innocent. But what I love this. This is just the simplicity and to have peace with God. What is it to know? Man, I know in my soul that me and God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, are at peace. I'm not warring with God. I'm not in turmoil in my spirit. This is so beautiful. I don't want you to miss it. This is so beautiful. I'm not fighting with God in my spirit. There's not this disruption within my soul when it comes to God. It's not this turmoil. No, I've been justified. And I'm at peace with God. There is such a real picture with that. We wrestle and we wrestle and we wrestle and we wrestle. And there's turmoil, whether it be not being able to get over things from the past, or whether it's, you know, walking in the unknown of the future because of the past. And just what happens when even just today, what happens when just today there is this release? I'm in a true Holy Spirit release that I cannot do. It's by you in this moment saying, no, I'm convinced. I believe Romans 8. I believe Romans 5. He loves me. I'm going to pray that the guilt is gone. That shame is a release. And when it tries to come back, you put your hand up and say, no, wait a minute. No, I'm at peace with God. No, wait a minute. No, that's already been covered. Wait a minute. No, I'm above and beyond victorious. I'm overwhelmingly a conqueror because of his love, because I know his love and nothing can separate me from his love. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And in that, I am no longer condemned. In that, I'm no longer have this heavy weight of shame and guilt. That doesn't exist anymore. And you just got to speak life to that and say, no, enough's enough. I'm no longer a victim. You don't have a hold on me. I am at peace. I'm not in turmoil anymore. No, my soul has been, there's been a release within my soul. And in this moment, I believe God wants to do that. But it's you got to come back to that place. Even this morning when it tries to come back in, you're like, no, wait a minute. I am overwhelmingly a conqueror because of the love that God has for me. No, wait a minute. There's no condemnation. No. No guilt, no shame, no way. I'm not living as a victim because of yesterday. I'm not bringing it into my tomorrow. Man, we're so good at bringing in what happened to me in the past. We're so good at bringing it into our tomorrow when we should say, no, wait, that is covered. There has to be a release. And it is my heart. We look at Romans 5:1 and you just say, wait a minute, I want to be at peace with God. Because he loves me. I pray for you this morning that there is truly a release. Man, if you're in this place this morning, and man, this is you, and you're like, I just need the love of God. I need to overwhelmingly conquer. I need to be in a place to just say, God, I know you as a Savior and Lord. I am born again. But I need this. God, I want to make it personal. I want to be reminded again today that this is personal. You love me. You love me. I want to pray for you today. All heads are bowed. On the count of three, just put your hands in the air. Come on, 1, 2, 3. Put your hands in the air. Lord, I just ask that there will be just truly such a release to know yesterday's over. Yesterday's over. And I pray that anxiety, and I pray that guilt and that shame, God, there would be
this true release of that because, God, you've got this. I am no longer under that cloud of shame. And, God, I just pray that there would be just such a Romans 5:1 peace with you, God, that I would have this peace with you. No more wrestling. No more wrestling. And in Jesus' name, it's not allowed to come into my now, and it's not allowed to come into my tomorrow. No more. I'm not a victim. It's been covered. God, I make this personal that you love me, and there's nothing that can separate me. Free me in this. God, free me in this, that I would be persuaded, that I would be convinced, and I will never be unconvinced. You can't unpersuade me of what I know. You love me with such a depth that nothing can separate me from your love. And in that, I am free. I am free. The past is not welcome any longer. I walk in triumph and I walk in victory. I'm no longer a victim. That will not be held over my head any longer. In Jesus' name. Come on, if we could just stand to our feet, please. If anybody needs prayer for any reason, man, we would love to pray with you. As Katie sings, come on, let this just sit in your spirit, please.